What's going on, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Podcast Hello. How are you today? I'm your host, Mitch Corbett, and today we have one of my favorite comedians. Her name is Sarah Walsh. She is a comedian from Newfoundland and Labrador, more specifically Newfoundland, St. John's area. But she's been doing the game since she was 17, and she, when I got to move to Newfoundland, I got to be part of the comedy scene there. And it was a great scene. There's some really, really, really funny people there, and Sarah is one of them. She's also a fantastic artist. I have a few of her art pieces that I got commissioned for myself, and she's just fantastic. So I think you guys are going to enjoy this chat with the comedian and artist known as Sarah Walsh. So here we go. Let's get to Sarah Walsh. How are things going?
I'm good, man. How about you guys?
Comedy shows are once again canceled in the great province of Ontario. Really? I thought you guys were all locked off from the rest of the world.
Well, we are, and you'd think that would be a good thing. It's just unfortunate that that means that when we do get it, we have to be extra careful because it's going to burn through the whole place ASAP.
Yeah, there are lots of old people in Newfoundland that you don't want to see perish.
I would like to not make anybody's nan sick, so this has been most of my course of action.
Nans and pods, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
it's so fascinating because like right before, so we got shut down on, I think it was like the 1st of January. So like 2 weeks ago now. And there was a comedy show that on New Year's Eve, and I went to just kind of like have fun and check it out. And there was like only five comedians. So I asked like, can I go up? And then the guy didn't recognize me. And so he brought me up without any knowledge. I mean, like, and so I just did a set for fun, and it was awesome. It went really well. It was great.
Yeah, we went into, I think, level 3 right before Christmas. So, I mean, I feel like people that took it seriously saw no one over Christmas. And it was a good excuse for me. And the people who didn't take it seriously still, like, went to, like, 20 house parties. And, like, incidentally, I think our number is 1,000
now. Maka and I were in a Home Depot yesterday, right? And there was a lady with no mask on talking to a gentleman who had a mask on, and I guess he was asking, like, hey, can you put your mask on, blah, blah, and she's like, no, don't you see, you're part of the problem, and you're part of the problem, and she's part of the problem, and he's part of the problem, and, like, she pointed at me, and I was like, this fucking Tuesday, what the?
Actually, funny enough, here, yesterday, we had, I'm not going to say names, because I don't know what the rules are for podcasts, but there's a lady here that's, like, a public local figure, and they organized a protest in front of a booster clinic for people that didn't think that we should mandatorily have to be vaccinated, which so, is like, the whole thing.
So, like, with that, like, why, like, anyone that protests science and health is extremely dumb. Now, if you want to protest the politicians who are making the poor decisions, I understand that wholeheartedly. But don't go after the scientists and the doctors, the people that are trying to help us.
Well, I think that my biggest beef with it was that instead of, you know, protesting in front of, I guess, the Confederation Building or Supreme Court or anything of that nature, she chose a booster clinic where people who are going there are doing it because they just would like to do as much as they can to keep everybody safe. And then lo and behold, there's this massive barrage of people with no masks talking about how, like, the media is the virus. I was like, oh, what a wad. I can't.
And, like, so, like, in, like, we're getting into this. I'm here with Sarah Walsh. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, how are you today? Comedian,
hello.
Artist, overall great human being, pink-haired, lovely-looking person. So my opinion on all this, right, is that, like, at the beginning, it was all safety, safety, safety. I get that. Awesome. I'm on board. I'm pro-science and pro-medicine, and that seems to be a very controversial take these days. But hey, I'm a sci-fi fan. I grew up with Star Trek and the medical officers being like the best people in the world. So I'm attuned to that. That being said, I mean, the governments have just done such a piss poor job of managing this entire thing. And their explanations and their reasoning behind anything and everything has been so poorly informed to the public. I get why people are frustrated. I get why people are angry and everything. And it's gotten to the point where, like, it's here. It's been 2 years. Like, I don't think we're ever getting rid of it. I don't think we're I think it's going to become like the flu, where it's like you get a flu shot or you get COVID shot or whatever the fuck it is these days. It's now part of the our lives, and stopping people from working out and performing and all that stuff is just, it's now, that's what are we doing?
Yeah, I feel like now we've reached a point where, like, I mean, at the beginning, I absolutely hated the phrase the new normal, because, you know, it weighs on you after a while. But, like, that being said, like, this is our new normal. Personally, I don't think I will ever go back to not wearing a mask, and it's less to do with, you know, germ spread. But I will admit that I haven't had a cold in 2 years since I've been wearing the
fucking mask. Weird, right? It's like...
But like, also, I didn't feel
not to make this a racial thing, but the Asians have had this plan for years.
Well, you know, when you see people at the airport before all this who had their masks, and you were like, "All right, buddy, it's an airplane, it's not a germ farm," and now I'm like, "No, they had the right idea."
Yeah, no,
like, we are essentially a petri dish as a community.
Yeah, I like if I go on a flight, I don't know, because I've traveled so much and planes without a mask. Like, I'd probably take it off, but like, that's only because I know I'm immunized and I'm young enough to kind of know that I can survive disease. Like, I don't know.
That's actually like a lot of my perspective, but like, I mean, the big reason that I was very into getting vaccinated, other than like, you know, the pro-science stuff that is ingrained in my head,
is that's awesome.
Pretty cool. We actually have watches that are essentially like, I don't know, fitness. I just find it bizarre that you put on a watch and it's like your heart rate is elevated. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I just walked by someone yelling and my heart rate just decreased. What the hell is going on?
My friend lent me hers because like I was like, what is the deal with this? And she's like, oh, you want to try it? And then it was just like, I guess where it was like she had it set to like a lot of her things. It was just like, your blood pressure is lower. And I was like, what? My what?
I have a Fitbit, and I'm not like a watch guy, so like it's hard to like wear any sort of jewelry or anything. I barely wear my wedding ring, to be honest. Just not that kind of guy. But I've had it on a few times, and like it's like, oh, 100, that's not great. I'm just gonna take that off and ignore my health.
I think I literally did take it off for that reason. I was like, I don't like that I could pinpoint what points in the day I got stressed out enough, and then I'm trying to match it to like my day. So I'm like, all right, your heart rate jumped at this time, and that was the time that the lady on the bus yelled at you. Then your heart rate jumped again, and that's because you saw like an ex at Costco, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, I don't need this.
did you wear it while you were at work, like when you were in the restaurant?
I did one day, and I thought that I was pretty happy at my job, and generally speaking I think I was, but yeah, there was quite a few times where like there was one notable spike, and I can actually tell you, I was like, oh, that was when I didn't bring in somebody's order, and then I was like, man, that's taking such a long time, and I went to check and there was nothing on the ticket line, and I was like,
so like I'm pro health and I'm pro science, right? But I will ignore my own health for the betterment of my mental health.
Like, I'm literally in school for like further medical training, just where like I guess I worked with childcare for so long, and then I went into respite care, and now I'm like, what else is out there? But by the same token, like, I will ignore something that is obviously an issue for me just because I'm like, it'll probably go away. Like very recently I cracked a back tooth, I grind my teeth, and I also sleepwalk, so it could have done either of those things.
I grind my teeth too. I do not sleepwalk, but I get you.
But like, yeah, like I just woke up and I was like, oh, there's like a piece missing from my back tooth. That is my back tooth. I can probably ignore that. And I'm like, my face hurt a lot. I was like, I can still ignore that. And then I was like, all right, like you're.
Oh no, she froze. Ah, what happened?
Like, how long has it been since you fixed this? I'm like, oh, and now the shame.
It's why is life so hard? I don't like adulting at all.
I actually hate that as a verb, and I think it's more so that I hate that I have to do stuff.
But it's a very apt verb, because they don't, like, we go through all this schooling, right? Elementary school, public school, or high school, college, and no one really tries and teaches us how hard it is. I remember back in the day, my parents tried to teach me how to do bills, and I was like, but I wish they had hounded me about it and made me do it more, because holy shit, it is frustrating. But like,
well, yeah, like I agree. I mean, you're put through school, and you know what? The other thing is that, you know, they make all these, I like where the school system is going, where they're a little more open to people that learn differently. So like, I mean, especially now with like neurodivergence being something that we're a lot more aware of, but by the same token, could we maybe, instead of teaching me how to build a birdhouse in tech, can you teach me how to balance my checkbook or do taxes or how to not let the laundry pile get big enough that I'm convinced it's sentient? Like, I just feel like there's some life skills that are universally, like, you will need those, versus, you know, calculus is cool and you might need it for what you're doing at school. But if you don't, let's talk about doing like an accounting course.
I mean, there should just be like, and I think there's been enough discussion about that. It's probably gonna have one day, but there should just be like a course in high school, which is like life course. Like, here are the things that, you know, you will experience as you get to adulthood that might be difficult for you to understand now, but like are going to be, and like you teach, like, these are things that you will have to deal with. Cause like, I don't remember the last time I had to use, like you said, calculus or math or anything sciencey. I mean, those weren't careers I went into. I mean, I'm pro science, but I'm a fucking idiot. I can't tell you what science is. I know it's awesome.
T-shirt, by the way, like, aren't, if you make podcast t-shirts, I would like that to be your t-shirt. It's like, I'm pro science, but I'm a fucking idiot. Which I feel is indicative of like the whole operation. Like, I think, yeah, like when people admit that they're like, oh, I have no clue what I'm talking about, but I understand what you're communicating because you're somebody that went through this field and can explain it calmly to me.
So I think the funniest thing that I've experienced during this pandemic is like, and I'm sure you have friends, just like I have friends, who have done their own research, right? Now, I don't want to knock their own research, because I'm sure they did a whole lot of work during those 4 hours while they're either drunk or high as shit and Googled all the right things that they wanted to find that agree with their other opinions. Lonely. Pardon?
Or just exceptionally lonely to the point of like nearing madness. Well,
isn't. All right. So that's another thing, right? Is that like, yeah, great, you did your own research, but like your research doesn't amount to the 10 plus years that someone has done in the medical or health and sciences field. Also, additionally, I think that's where the governments might have fucked up a little bit too much, is that it made everyone go home from work and then people had nothing to do. So they had too much time on their hands that enabled them to do the research that they wanted to do on it. Everything just became a shit show.
Well, actually, I think that one of my favorite things that illustrates that, there was a thing on, like, I sound like somebody's man, where I'm like, my grandson Nathan showed me on the YouTube, but there was this running thing where it's just, if Google was a guy, so it's this guy at his desk, one way. That's discredited about how they do, and then she just takes the one, she's like, I knew it. And I'm like, oh, this is how we got here.
And like, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. But what's also fascinating is your artwork as well, because I want to get off the COVID train. And your
first yeah, no, this is easy to get into.
Is that your internet acting up or is it mine? I wonder.
Mine is pretty good. Are you freezing or anything?
You're frozen on my end, but I think it might be mine because my wife is working and she works from home and she uses a lot of the internet while she's working.
I like your wife. You say hi after this.
I will. Most people like my wife. They like her a lot more than they like me, that's for sure.
Well, she's just always friendly.
That's because they... So, yeah, that's... she knows how to put on a... She's very friendly and outgoing and chitty-chatty. I mean, when we lived in Bay Roberts, it was like, it wasn't as easy for her to socialize people. So when we went to St. John's, when I did the comedy in St. John's, it was like, oh, people.
yeah, I feel that in my bones.
So let's rewind to the whole, this podcast is about you because you're the artist and you're the comedian and everything. I have a few pieces of your art, and you're actually working on one right now for me, the Latino Heat, which I cannot wait to see.
I am.
Did you study art? How did you get into art? I mean, how that all, because like your pieces vary so drastically from like one to another. It's like, you don't have like a specific form or whatever.
I'm going to blame that one on ADHD. I'm just like, all right, focus and do the same thing twice. Absolutely not. Because that goes so far against my wheelhouse. No, ironically, the only thing I've ever failed in school, like failed, was art. I failed art.
Yeah, because art is such a teachable form. It's not subjective at all.
yeah, that was kind of, I think, the beef. And also, I didn't really make it easy for myself. The teacher that we had, who turned out to be a very nice person. Like, I've bumped into her 100 times as an adult. I'm like, oh, you're very nice. Maybe we just didn't like each other when I was a teenager, which is a weird power dynamic to look into, but okay. But yeah, like, it got to the point where, like, she would ask me to, like, explain, I guess, something that I did. And that, for whatever reason, always used to make me, like, annoyed. So I was like, it couldn't be more obvious. It's like an apple in space. I'm like, it's my soul. And she was like, uh-huh. And then I just stopped going. Because, you know, I mean, what did we talk about earlier? About if you ignore your problems long enough, they will definitely not go away.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I guess self-taught is the best thing to describe it as. And then there's just some things that I'm good at, and then there's other things that I envy people who could do, and that's it.
But like, so like, because I have no, like, my artistic background is like television, film, wrestling, comedy, that sort of thing. Like, you give me a paintbrush and you're not going to get something great. Like, and I know that for a fact. Like, I've tried, like, oh, maybe I can paint something here. I think the only time I've ever drawn anything really good was I did a Goku in pencil once. And that was because I was such a Dragon Ball Z nerd. I was like, this has to be perfect. The hair has to be spiky and the muscle definition. It was like, oh, cool. And I'm done.
That was, I mean, tell me that you were like pubescent in like the early or the early 2000s, late 90s without telling me. That was the best way to say that, by the way.
Yeah, of course. I still watch it. I mean, fuck it. Dragon Ball Z is super now, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, I dig it. Don't get me wrong. I was just kind of like, oof.
Well, I mean, we could always go into Sailor Moon as well. I mean, that'd be a heavy influence. I mean, I was Tuxedo Mask as Halloween one year. I mean, it was dope.
Aw. That's awesome. I always liked the girl, Sailor Mercury. And I want to tell you it was because she was smart, but realistically, it was because my parents made me have a mushroom cut for about a year. And I was like, yeah, mushroom cuts are cool.
Well, so like I don't know what this is. It might be my Aries background. I'm not a huge, like, but like, I'm always been fire, that sort of thing. Like Charizard, Charmeleon, all those of mine. And then Mars, Sailor Mars, because Mars, red planet, fire, I'm at close, like, that's my jam.
Yeah, no, I don't, all I've learned from astrology in my life is that, every time that I do something that basically illustrates that, I'm like, oh God, you are too polite for your own good. In some situations, somebody's like, typical Libra. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what that word means. Like,
is Libra and a definition for a woman, or, cause I mean, that's offensive. I don't know what.
The scale. It's your horoscope where you're a scale. And I'm like, so I'm supposed to be balanced? I don't understand. One of my friends who's,
wait, really, sorry, so a Libra is supposed to be balanced, even though that's probably the single thing that you are not.
There you go. One of my friends who's big in astrology did try to explain this to me. She's like, oh no, it just means that you're constantly fighting for balance. Like,
that doesn't help, friend. That doesn't help with my mental state that's happening right now.
Well, it's perpetually. I feel like I'm always on that rolling log. Like, you know, when you see people in the competition, but like they're just like on the log forever, and like some of them, like, you're like, holy cow, this is going on forever. And then there's like that one person at the end that would just be holding the log, going in and out of water, and that would be me.
So, like, with that being a thing that you had to deal with, like, how do you focus on both comedy and art? I mean, because like to do it, like, I'm looking at the piece in the background there. That looks like it took hours. So how do you do time spurts, or do you all do it all at once? Like, how do you find the time to kind of settle your brain to do the things that you do?
That part's usually a struggle.
Drugs.
The funny thing is that if I have 800 things to do, like important things, stuff with deadlines, work, school, whatever, I can sit down and paint for hours, like literally hours. And then pair all of my socks and do all the things that are nothing to do with the deadline stuff. And with regards to comedy, I always used to, I have to like organize something in advance enough that I know that it's coming, but not far enough away that I'll change my mind and not want to do it afterwards. So like, that's definitely, I think it's more difficult for me to arrange for comedy than it is for paint and art, but that could largely just be because comedy seems like it would be something I would have to leave my house for.
But like, I mean, it's because I mean, you could just stay inside all day long and just work on your art, but you force yourself to do comedy. So why, like, how do they both help you, I guess, mentally?
Well, actually, it was kind of funny. So George Price is a local comic here that passed away a couple of years ago. And at his funeral, me and another comic, we were just chatting, we're pretty close. And a guy that did comedy like maybe 10 years previous came in and just pays respects to George and to say hi to us. And we were just on the topic about it. And he just mentioned, oh, well, you know, like this was like a bucket list thing for me. And I did it and it was good. Now I move on to the next thing. And then when he left, me and the other comic were like, imagine not having to do this. Like not having this weird, like it's, I don't know. I feel like it's like the Joker from the new one, like the Heath Ledger Joker, where he's talking about how he's like a dog chasing cars and he has no idea what he would actually do with one. And I'm like, that is an analogy for pursuing comedy for some reason, but just applied to me. I actually have no idea what I would do if I found any success in this.
And do you find that like being in Newfoundland where like there's not a whole lot of female comedians, like, does that help, or is that too much pressure on your end, knowing that, like, you're a sought after a commodity in terms of performing?
Well, actually, that's been kind of a thing that's developed a lot over time, especially, like, when I first started, I believe it was, like, me, and there was two other female performers that kept at it locally, and I just remember feeling this weird, misguided pressure of, well, if I fuck up, it doesn't just look bad on me, it looks bad on like female comics, because if you have 10 comics and 9 of them are men and one of them is female and 2 of the male comics do bad, you just write it off as they're bad comics. And then with the female comic, you're like, oh, you had one on the list, huh, and it was bad. Well, but that's insane, because like no one else puts that kind of pressure on themselves. So like it was kind of one of those deprogramming things that I had to do, because like, no, like you don't reflect your entire gender. That is way too much pressure. But like,
and we're not in now, the 50s like, anymore.
That's a good one. Women are people. It's weird. I sleep with my head on the pillow like a person. But like, in the last couple of years, especially locally, we've had a lot more people outside of like the straight white men demographic. And like, I'm not knocking that demographic. I'm just saying that's been like the majority in my experience. And then in the last couple of years, locally especially, we're seeing a lot more people looking to kind of carve out safer spaces for different demographics. And there has been a lot more active female comics, and it makes me really happy.
I mean,
you get to see different styles and different people.
I think it's fascinating, like, like the different, like having been to Vancouver and performed there just once, and St. John's, and now in London, and like St. Catharines, like I've been enough places to kind of like see different scenes, and every scene has their own little vibe, right? And St. John's is a great vibe, but like they're what you could tell it was a smaller group and everything, and they had some areas where I got to perform in. But like maybe you can talk more about it, because like you've been in one scene for a lot longer than I have, but like how have you seen it develop? Like you mentioned how it's kind of growing, there's more safe spots for you to go, but like why is it so weird? Why are so many comedy scenes so weird? Is my question to you. There's so many good comedians, and then why are there so many bad comedians that get the spots? Maybe that's the better question.
I've put people on my show because I organize like a weekly room, and like I'm pretty sure that there's been occasions where I've put somebody on out of sheer morbid curiosity, because they, you know, found me on social media. They were like, hey, I'm a local comic. And their intro was so bad that I was like, oh, I got to see what this was about. Like, we have one guy, and the only reason I haven't put him on is because I think the bar that I work with has banned him. So I was like, okay, he has sent me 8 professional messages, each one starting with, hey, fucker, which is weird when it's somebody that you don't know. But yeah, like, I think it's just a really big, I mean, like it's not just something that like only one kind of person likes. So I think that the big reason that it works is because like I don't know any comic that isn't kind of weird. Like you have your friends, and you could look at like your friends and like, you know, a house party and be like, oh, like that's Steve. He's actually a pretty cool guy. He works 40 hours a week and has a dog and makes his own beer, and you're like, he's normal. In quotations. And then like you have comics and you're looking around and you're like, well then.
So I always like, if I ever like, I've said this to myself a few times, like one of the greatest compliments I ever got is I was hanging out with a professional wrestler named Rex Atkins, right? And we were just walking down the street, and we walk into the store, I'm like, grab this. And then like, we're just talking, and like he's a professional wrestler. That's weird. And he said that I'm the weird one. And I'm like, this is before I was even a comedian. This is even before I was a professional wrestler. But this is before I even traveled internationally on cruise ships and everything. And I was like, well, yeah, because it's fun. But like, it's amazing how like every comedian's kind of weird. But like, what I don't get is like, every comedian's weird, but some comedians think that they're better than other. Like, so like, I had a thing where I'm hosting a show now at a brewery. And this one lady wanted to come perform. I'm like, sure. And it was the worst thing in the fucking world. It was so weird. But like, I love the chaos of it. I embrace it. It's so much fun. And one of the comedians like, oh, if I'd known she was performing, I wouldn't have performed on the show you're on. I'm like, why? It's comedy is such a subjective thing. It's an art form. Anyone can do it, and everyone should be allowed to do it. You can't say yes or no to someone. It's such an... asinine thing to say yes or no to someone when it's like, it doesn't matter. It's like, if they bomb, that's on them. It's not on you.
Well, like I've never told someone yes or no based on their abilities as a comic for like an open mic, because that's very elitist. Now I will say that I do have some people that I won't perform with, or some people that I won't put on a show, because some of the things that they say are hurtful or harmful or things that I'm like, I want no affiliation with. Which I do think is a lot different than like,
that's a lot different, because that you have a reason for going to do that, right? It's not just because you don't like a person. It's like, there's things like that I can understand, that I can respect, but just because you don't like them, like fucking grow up.
Well, if you don't, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, like there's been plenty of people that like, I don't think I've ever been like bosom buddies with them, but like they get on stage, they do their own thing. The audience likes it. It doesn't matter if I like it or not. Like, it's not hurting anybody. It's not saying anything inflammatory or cruel. It's just not my speed.
Yeah.
So I feel like you do have to be super subjective about whether or not you put somebody on a show if you're like in a position where you're organizing things for that reason.
And I'm saying this as someone who like, listen, I'm not the greatest. I'm not like, I mean, I'm still working on finding my voice on stage, but like I know enough and I've seen enough to kind of like, why I don't understand why some people are so weird when it comes to other people being weird. Like, let's embrace the weirdness. Let's have fun. Let's make shit weird. It's my go-to.
Oh yeah, like, I mean, I'm a big fan of like the phrase like, who's here for the chaos? Because like, I feel like that's 90% of performing arts. Like, doesn't matter what wheelhouse you're in. It could be music, it could be acting, it could be, but I mean, like, I feel like it's all a very low speed kind of chaos. Low speed varying to high speed depending on what goes wrong in tech.
Yeah, no, like, so what's, we're talking about comedians, we're talking about comedy, like, Did you connect with it right away, or like how long was it until like you found your voice, or are you, is that still something you're working on right now?
I mean, it sounds incredibly hacky and arty, but I feel like you're perpetually kind of finding a little bit more of your voice every day, for lack of better phrasing. All right, cool. That sounded unbelievably hippie. But I mean, like, I've been at this since I was, I think, 17 or 18. And, for those of you without eyes, I'm very old and tired now and in my 30s. And
you're okay. We're not old. Okay. I'm 33. We're not old. Fuck off with this mentality.
Have I?
Have you seen how in shape some 50-year-olds are? Okay. Let's we're not old. Let's just simmer down. Okay. This is not the 50s anymore. We're 30 is almost your death.
We're not old, but let's just call it what it is. If a teenager talks to me, I understand, like, maybe 60% of what they said.
Cool. Now what you should do is when a teenager talks to you, you walk away. So I that way they learn them. No, that way they learn what real life is all about. It's like, no one gives a shit.
It seems like a harsh lesson, but a necessary one.
Yeah, they need to learn some heartbreak very early on so they can adapt.
Yeah, next time a teenager talks to me and they're just like, excuse me, miss, do you know where the bus is? I'm gonna be like, your eyebrows are weird.
All right. Let me ask this.
I don't even need it.
So you've worked in customer service, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had interaction in public where you're like, fuck that, it was like a total representation of what you were doing to customer service?
Yeah, actually, all my years serving, I find like my boss was always very like, how is this happening? But like, I was getting tipped really well for tables that like I'd obviously lost patience for. And she was just like, I think that they think that you're being funny. I was like, I'm not, I hate them. And I think that that's probably like a lot of like how comedies work. Like, I remember one time I did a show in Halifax, and afterwards this girl came up to me and she was, you know, like sweet and funny. And she seemed really nice. And she was talking away at me and she was just like, oh man, that was great. It's a good thing you're not that awkward in real life. I'm like, yeah, that's true. That would be bad. But that's so, a lot of like my customer service thing where then they're like, oh, like you're only doing this because like you work somewhere where like you're supposed to be like kind of chatty or funny or weird. And I'm like, yes.
So I worked at a call center once, and I was at a Tim Hortons, and this guy walks in and he's like, hey, do you know, can you help, when, and this is what brought this up, is you, the teenager asked the director, he's like, hey, do you have any, do you know where, how, what, where I can go for this? Like, I need directions. I'm like, yeah, sure. Go this way. And then I looked, I'm like, okay, so is there anything else I can do for you today, sir? And he's like, and he just looks at me, he's like, no, I'm good. And he walks away. And then I turn to get back in line, and I'm like, what the fuck have I become?
Yeah, you know what? I get that. Like, carrying stuff on from like your job, because okay, anybody who listens to this that's ever worked in a kitchen or been a server, I still do it where I'm walking and if somebody's in front of me, I go behind,
yep,
behind,
same,
around, and like I still do the thing where I'm coming in or going out of a door and I go coming in because like I'm used to the swinging doors where like this is how you lose food everywhere and everybody hates you. So I'm like, well, I'm broken forever now.
Like you're like you're in a relationship, you're saying you're in a relationship and like someone says behind and you're like, and they're like, oh yeah, awesome, and they're like, no, I'm just trying to get past you, I'm not trying to do anything,
I'm literally just trying to get around you, I'm not pulling something,
yeah, I'm not trying to get lucky or anything, I'm just trying to get around you. It's like, oh.
Actually, a couple of years ago we had a house party, and at this point I think I'd been out of serving for like maybe 3 months. Don't worry, it's never permanent, like you never actually leave. And I fell asleep because, like, that's what happens when you're internally, like, a nan at a house party. So, like,
oh, you mean you didn't try and, like, you didn't try and crawl into your freezer to take a, like, 5-second nap?
The walk-in freezer was actually being occupied. I just fell asleep in a chair like a grandmother, and then somebody yelled, "Pick up," and I... It ruined your life. I think the subtitle of this podcast is just like, "Welcome to serving. Your life is over now."
I've only done kitchen work and everything, so all those terms apply. I feel like the front of the staff definitely have much more hectic lives, because not only are you carrying the food out, but you're having to deal with complaints, and you're like dealing with like other like people trying to snipe your tips from you, sort of thing. There's a whole fucking thing, new world.
I mean, like, I always found a way to make customer complaints work for me. And this is probably, like, you know, more fun facts if you need them. But when a customer asks you a question that's really dumb, and then you say the answer, and then they say, "Well, you haven't even checked with the kitchen yet." When I was young, I used to say, "You're right," and I go check with the kitchen. And then they'd all yell at me for asking something so stupid. And what I started doing was, I was just like, "I'm going to go, like, I'll take a smoke break now, or I'll like go check my phone, or I'll just go stand outside with my mouth open and fart, because I have about 5 minutes where they need to think that I'm doing what they're asking me to do, even though it's a waste of all of our time." So that was just, I think, the amount of times that the kitchen guys would come up for smoke and I'd be outside, and they'd be like, "You're avoiding a customer, aren't you?" I'm like, no, if they ask, I'm talking to you.
It's a good strategy. That's very good. If there's any young people listening to this podcast, that's a very, and you're in the customers, like, use that strategy. It's cool. Now, the one thing I want to talk to you about is that you are on Spotify now as part of the stand-up special, Stand-Up Atlantic. As I looked at my phone, just to make sure I get it right. It's you and a bunch of other comedians from St. John's, Newfoundland. What was that experience like? And like, yeah, I kind of talked to you about a few times a while back, because it's been out for a while. It's been a while since we've been trying to get this thing to...
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Things are busy. Life is busy. So what was that like? Because like that, I listened to your set and it was very good. There was good feedback and everything. So like, kind of tell me how that all came to be.
Okay, so in the last...
And now you're rich, right?
Years... Oh, I make fractions of pennies, my friend. Don't be jealous. I've been on TV twice. I've made tens of dollars a year. So about that, in the last few years, I have developed, I don't know how else to describe it other than like a generalized anxiety issue. So I have panic attacks, but like I'm super functional during them. Like if I have something to do, I'm like, all right, you just finish what you're doing. And there's like a 10-minute window and then you can go throw up and cry. Totally cool. The Just for Last thing that we filmed, I was pretty calm about it, I think, up until like it started. And then I was like, oh. So the first act went on. I think I was something like the sixth that night. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to excuse myself for a moment. And then I power through up for about 10 minutes. And then I do not remember any of my set, but I was told it was very good.
You haven't listened back to it yet?
No, my partner played one track for me and I was like, that's enough. You know when you hear your own voice on an answering machine, you're like, oh, like, do I really sound like that? It's like that, but all the time.
I just imagine, like, he has it on, like, saved on his phone, and, like, he's playing some, like, Spotify tunes while you guys are getting intimate, and then, like, all of a sudden your voice comes on, and it's like, oh, God, no! It's like, don't ruin the mood!
Oh, that would immediately retract any mood other than just pure disdain for both of us at that point. Like, I would be like, well, I don't like me because that sounds stupid. And I don't like you because you did this to us. So.
But I mean, like, I feel like a lot of people like want that recognition of being able to perform and be on Spotify. And nowadays it's like, you can put your stuff on YouTube, Instagram, all the fun stuff. And like, if people see it, they see it, whatnot. But to be asked to perform by like, Just for Last Canada, CBC, like that's a fucking big deal. That shouldn't be taken lightly, you know? Like, do you ever give yourself a chance to kind of like say, hey, holy shit, this is kind of fucking cool?
I've been working on that. That's something like the magic of therapy is that they're like, hey, you got to stop doing some of the stuff that you do. And I'm like, okay. So like one of the things is the imposter syndrome thing, which literally every performer or artist that I know has it, because they're like, yeah, I know I do this, or like I paint or I act or I sing, but like, am I actually? And it's like, you are. Like if you're doing it, you are. Like you're not a hack. And that's something that I've had to mentally remind myself periodically, is that when I'm just like, I don't know, I think that everybody has it. When you do a set that didn't go well, or if you just eat shit, or if you haven't been on the mic in a while and you're like, I don't even know why I do this. And it's like, okay, well, write a CV and you'll see how much cool stuff you've done. And they didn't ask you to be nice. Like there's kind of, that's one of the things that I needed to keep in my head, is that like, nobody's asking you to perform to be kind. Like this isn't like your friend's 10th birthday party and like you're kind of weird and they invite you because their parents make you. Like this is an event that they want to go well and they want to find the best people suited for it. And they invited you because they think that you can do it. So it is definitely something to mentally keep in mind.
Is that a Lionel Richie mug?
Yes, it is. It says, hello, is it tea you are looking for?
Fantastic. And like, so like, that's another thing that like, I've been thinking about getting therapy. I haven't really jumped in on board yet, just because like, I'm not, you know, there's stuff that I feel like I want to talk about, but like, I feel like there's other people that have other main more issues, but it's very, I'm still working on like whether or not to do it sort of thing. Plus, you know, financially it's a, adulting is hard again, sort of thing.
Just start a swear jar. That's been pretty much covering my therapy.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, maybe that would be a good idea. I'll have to get the wife to put some money in there too. So she can, oh God, so she can pay for the damage that she does to me sometimes.
Oh no. No,
it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Okay, how many times a day as a comic or somebody that runs a podcast do you have to explain the phrase "it's a joke"? Because I make jokes and then people are like, are you okay? I'm like,
not that often, because like we moved to London where like I still haven't really met any real friends I hang out, and plus the pandemic and such a pain in the ass in terms of like getting together with people to actually like build those friendships. So my interactions with actual human beings are very limited these days.
Do you ever just call a call center because you're lonely? Like
no, I have friends, but it's just usually through text messages and stuff like that we communicate.
Okay, no, I was just making sure. I had a friend that told me a couple of years ago, and I promised I would never write a joke about it, but they were like, oh, like, I don't care if you talk to people about it, you just can't tell them it's me. I was like, okay, that's a very specific stipulation. But he used to phone, like, tech support at his work when he was bored or if he got lonely. And he was just like, there is nothing wrong with my computer, I just hate this job.
Well, I mean, the one joke I was thinking of using was like, oh, I was thinking of doing a gain in therapy or a therapy just so I have a friend to talk to since moving to London. That's the joke I was gonna say on stage.
I actually have used my therapist to like bounce jokes off of, and I am quite certain that is not what therapy is for. So
but like you, but like when you when you think about like the number of comedians and professional entertainers, actors, artists, that sort of thing, that actually use therapy as a way to like enhance their performances, I feel like I mean, most therapists would understand like, oh, and like they probably appreciate that they're being used as something more than just therapy, because yeah. I mean, I feel like as a therapist that probably that kind of like that shit can wear on you too, so like having something a little bit different would be actually beneficial to them.
Well, I mean, like a lot of times I think so. This is something that I have learned over the years, and I think everybody already kind of knew it, like anybody in comedy already knew it. But a lot of times making jokes about something that you experience that's really, really dark or really heavy, that is a means of kind of coping with it. Like, I mean, self-deprecating humor is something that I'm trying to do less of, but it's a nightmare.
It's all us white guys have, okay? Don't take that away from us.
We'll put a pin in that. you know what, if you're making fun of you and not someone else, cool. Like, that's how I always thought, is that I'm like, I can make fun of me. I don't want to make fun of other people. So, like, I mean, you have comics that, like, get on stage and they pick on, like, the guy in the audience. They're like, hey, haircut. I'm like, oh, that's just mean. And then there's, like, people like me where I'm like, okay, I'm clearly making everybody uncomfortable making jokes about my own ineptitudes, but, like, at least I'm not making them uncomfortable with themselves. Which, again, whole other kettle.
So,
but, yeah.
Let me ask you about that, because it pisses me off when comedians start going after audience members at open mics, because there's not very many people at open mics, and then you make them leave. It's like, you know, I wanted to perform my comedy set in front of these people, and now I'm just performing in front of a bunch of other comedians. Like, what the hell, man? Like, why are you doing that to me or us?
I feel that. Well, yeah, like, I mean, like, if you have, like, I mean, that being said, there's been it doesn't happen that often, but the times that I've been, like, God, I feel like a badass, to be honest. Like, I mean, like, there's nothing that, in my opinion, feels better than when somebody has been asked very politely by the host or the other comics several times during the show to please, like, lower your volume or, like, you know, stop heckling, and then they don't, and I'm like, I'm just gonna go off. But, like, yeah. I think that is probably the most satisfying thing in the world, is when it's somebody's like, hey, you are asked very politely several times to stop doing what you're doing. I'm going to make fun of you now until you leave.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, like, people that didn't have it coming.
Oh, yeah, no, that actually is very upsetting to me, because I'm like, we have three audiences.
I understand when people are heckling, it's best to go after them and, like, kind of get them to walk. I've had to do that a few times while hosting, and it's always fun when I come up off on the spot. I never know what I'm going to say or do, but it's fantastic when it comes out.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But I'm talking about the experience where, like, you have a limited amount of people in the audience that are there to see a comedy show, and then the one person picks on the one person in the audience, and then they make them leave. And it's like, they were here to enjoy their time. Like, and you're making them, like, I mean, I saw a few times at Yes Boys, let's be honest. Like, it was like, come on, what are we doing, guys? I want to perform comedy in front of people, not fucking comedians. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I feel that. Because, I mean, like, I've also, like, I'm certain that I did it when I was younger, too, where, like, you just pick on somebody for no reason. And then you're like, what did I do that for? Why?
Yeah, and, like that's, I mean, that's no purpose. And that's understandable when you're younger. But, like, the people that were doing it and the people that have done it, that I've seen do it, are professionals, quote unquote, and they're like, it seems like it's so detrimental to, like, to the rest of the community, the comics that are there, the ones before. I have some pet peeves about comedy that are growing ever increasing.
Me too. I feel like mine have had a little more time to grow, but don't worry, they will eventually become whole entities and eat you alive.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you're, like, you said you've been doing it since you're 17. I've been doing it for the past, like, 2, maybe 3 years on and off. Like, the Newfoundland stuff, I was living in Bay Roberts, I had to go to St. John's to perform. The amount of shit that you've seen, and as a woman in comedy, too, as a teenage girl in comedy in Newfoundland, Labrador, the stories that you could tell.
You know, so the funny thing is that locally, I didn't have that many run-ins that were terribly negative. Like, I mean, like, we had a couple of things that, you know, at the time, I guess they made sense, but then they didn't age great. Like, I mean, I used to have a pet peeve where, especially where there wasn't that many females on a roster a lot, where they would, the audience, like, the MC would say, like, your next act is a very pretty girl. I'm like, oh, don't say that, because then they're going to leave. Like, they're gonna go smoke. Like, and also, like, my appearance has nothing to do with what's about to be set up. Everybody else got these great intros about, like, their accolades or, like, their style, and then you're like, your next act is a very pretty girl. I'm like, do you want to buy me a Barbie after this? Like, fuck off. But yeah, when I started touring, well, the other thing is that I don't really look my age, and I never have, so it has happened a lot, especially in the last couple of years, where we have new comics, but, like, it's happened a few times at shows here where somebody will come over and talk to me and they'll be like, oh, you're about to go on stage? Well, I got some hints for you. And I'm like, I've seen you do comedy twice. You think that I'm new. That is adorable. And also, it's a problem that you're talking to me like I'm five.
Yeah.
because, like, especially when you don't know someone, like, and one of the other pet peeves that I have, and I made my New Year's resolution, is to hiss at these people whenever it happens. I'm going to. I started doing it. It feels really good.
Wait, do you say hiss at them?
Yes, like a raccoon.
Okay.
Is that when somebody's talking to you? I mean, either. Both are cool. Is that when somebody's talking to you and you don't know them, and as a woman, it happens too much, is that they put their hand on the small of your back to talk to you. And I'm like, this just got creepy. And one of my, like, the very few things that I've enjoyed about COVID is that this is, like, I'm not a hugger and I'm not a toucher, and this is, like, one of the first times in my adult life that if I say no thank you to a hug, people are like, oh, you're right, you better not. I'm like, you're goddamn right.
Hey, I'm just happy that I was able to get a Sarah Walsh hug before I left Newfoundland, so I'm happy about that.
Well, that's different. That was with, like, enthused consent. But, like, it's kind of one of those things where I think it's a reoccurring wave, is that I don't enjoy being spoken to like a child. I don't know anybody who really does. And that has been kind of one of the only things that I will say. And they're not always, like, you know, professional bigwigs or stuff, but, like, I mean, it's been kind of a thing that I've always seen a little bit more of. And then there's also people that I know are kind of like, they're waiting until they, I guess, see me on stage before they decide whether or not they want to talk to me, which is a whole other form of, like, weird elitism. But, like, I mean, I feel like every performing arts nook has that.
Yeah, no, it's weird because I'm such a chatterbox. I'm such a social person. Because, like, and I think it has something to do with the fact that, like, being on cruise ships, you meet so many people from so many backgrounds, and it's an ever rotating group of cast members that you're forced to make new friends on almost like a weekly basis sort of
thing. That sounds exhausting.
And it's fascinating to me the amount of people that, like, I don't know how to say this, but, like, now, like, you're in comedy and, like, you're in the scene. And the amount of people that don't want to socialize is always kind of like, I would always feel like that's what I'm trying to do with the Fork River shows. I'm trying to, like, let's create a healthy environment where everyone can perform and everyone can have fun, and let's just all shoot the shit. And, hey, let's fucking roast each other. Let's piss each, let's, like, make fun of each other, please, for love of God. Like, everyone's too goddamn serious in this goddamn place.
I this got brought to my attention a while ago because I kind of wanted to do a roast locally, and a few people were really into it, and then a few people were like, I'm going to say no politely based on the beefs that I'm aware of within, like, certain sub-communities, and, like, if you know that there's an active beef with people, it would be a lot less fun to watch. And I'm like, oh, that's so valid.
No, but it also would be so fun to watch too, because, and maybe they perform against each other and they squash it right then and there, like, okay, and, like, that's the final, that's it, and let bygones be bygones, because they get it out of their system sort of thing.
I feel like your chaotic good vibe is straying away from my, like, chaotic neutral vibe, because I'm like, no, I just want to keep everything.
But, like, let's, like, realistically, though, like, all the things that have been said to these people have been behind each other's back. When you get a chance to say shit to someone's face, you have to have respect for it, and that's where the beef gets usually squashed. It's when you have that actual face-to-face communication that is beneficial to not only the argument that's at point, but, like, the overall scene. Because, like, I'm sure you are the same with me, is, like, you hear and see these beefs that are in the comedy scene, and you're like, oh, that's the most childish fucking thing I've ever heard of. Like, are we not grown-ups here? What's going on?
We are not. We are basically just, I don't know, mini children in trench coats.
And some, like, are exposing themselves to the others, which is not great.
There's a lot to unpack in that one, yes.
Well, every time I think about trench coats, like, so when you mention trench coats, I always imagine, like, the public flashers that you'd see, like,
yeah, the guy that walks around.
Yeah, and then, like, my go-to is also Inspector Gadget. So, I mean, it's either.
There was a lot going on his go-go gadgets.
Upsetting. You know what? Go-to. There's got to be, like, a go-go gadget porn out there, right?
Well, it's like rule 34 of the internet. If you can think it, there's a porn for it. And yeah, no, it's
but, like, cool. Do you think they use special effects though?
I mean, they'd have to. There's okay, so me, and this is probably, I don't know if this is, like, arguably a high moment of my life or a low moment of my life, but about 10 years ago, a roommate and I, and his partner at the time, we were discussing that rule, like whether or not there's actually a porn for everything. And so we you know, devoted destroying a laptop to Google anything that we could come up with. And there is like a 50-minute Batman porn. Like it's like the 60s Batman. And like the costumes are really intricate. But if you take out the porn, it's also a cohesive episode, which was like, I was not prepared for it.
If you're there with like your tea, it's like, this acts pretty good. Like skipping over.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, I think that we were all just like, I don't even think that drugs were involved. I'm pretty sure it was just like some friends sitting down with like their coffees, just like, well, we don't like that the Joker's keeping the gloves on because it seems unhygienic. But beyond that, they're doing great.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if there's like a supercut of all those porns that have good storylines, but it's just a storyline. So it's actual episodes of stuff.
I know that Buffy had one. Like there was like a Buffy porn.
Yeah.
I'm so not ready for this.
Especially if you're all... Family Guy one. Oh, yeah. Like a live action Family Guy one?
Yeah, which I was kind of like, all right, let's see where this takes us.
I don't like not for nothing, like I'm overweight and everything, but I don't want to see Peter Griffin on top of Lois. Like I would feel like he is crushing her.
Well, I mean, that's because in the cartoon he's drastically bigger than her. If you're talking about like normal sized people representing that, it looks more human, but like in cartoon form, yeah, you're talking about a pretty... I just don't want to see Peter Griffin have sex. And now that could largely be because I think the whole crux of the character is that he's like discount Homer Simpson, and I don't want to see him having sex either, but here we are.
What is in the springboard water that makes their skin turn yellow? That's a haunts my... Well, I know what it is, nuclear power plant, but still, I mean, it's...
It's like that three-eyed fish.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, Sarah, it's been such a blast catching up with you and talking to you about comedy and art and everything. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Where so people can check out the Stand Up Atlantic on Spotify, is that correct?
Yeah, the album that I'm on is Miss Totally Tubulous, and I would also like to point out that there's another Atlantic Canada album that's called I think Infinity Plus Pizza, and I hope I'm not butchering that. I know that I have it on my Spotify, but I don't remember the name, but it's got all these great comics performing from Newfoundland, and I recommend it wholeheartedly.
All right, and which one was that again? So I can write down for myself.
Mine is the same one as like a handful of other great artists. Miss Totally Tubulous, which is a reference to a Brie Parsons joke.
Totally Tubulous.
And which is great to say.
Yeah, and then there's another one?
The other album with the other comics from Newfoundland is, I think, Infinity Plus Pizza.
Infinity
Plus Pizza. It's just the last divided into two pieces, and it was great.
All right, and where can people find you on your social medias and stuff like that?
Instagram is usually the best go-to because I deleted Twitter. I had Twitter for years, and it was mostly people messaging me to tell me to kill myself, or people messaging asking for photos of my feet because Twitter is gross.
I mean, if you're a struggling comedian, I mean, make money off your feet, why not? Fucking gives a shit.
I mean, I don't mind that. Like, I mean, that's totally cool. Like, when the pandemic started and a lot of people were out of a job, I'm like, all right, if your friends ask for money on OnlyFans, mind your fucking business and just give them money.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, yeah, Twitter is mean. So I was like, okay, I have too many opinions for Twitter, and I'm too sensitive to deal with the fallout.
Yeah, no, so I have my Twitter, but like I use it like less and less and less. I kind of just go on there to kind of look at the badness and like not be part of it. you mentioned my chaotic goodness, and like it's like a place where I kind of just want to see the madness from the outside and kind of looking. So what is your Instagram handle then?
Kiddo Walsh.
And people can see all your artwork on that page as well?
All the art. A lot of times I'll share show posters when, you know, we're not in the crux of a pandemic, and have shows, which is great. I haven't done any of the Zoom shows because there's something very jarring about being alone in your room telling jokes to a wall with your phone on it.
I So Maka, my wife, she works for Lululemon. And so during the pandemic, they actually did like a comedy show for the staff via Zoom. And being a comedian myself, and I was like, all right, let's see what this is all about. And so we wrote signs as I said, ha ha or LOL. So like, hopefully they could see it. Man, God bless those people that performed that night, because I would not have been able to do it. Like, and there was like they had
It's
some really
rough.
good bits, but like with no laughter to come back on or not, it looked painful.
It's tough. It's very tough. I mean, yeah, like I give huge applause to the people that still had like the hustle in them to do that. Again, some of us are too sensitive for that level of quiet.
Yeah. Well, I hope like I would have had like a mini laugh track going behind me. I would have fucked with a little bit.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, the sign, the like applause, just so that way they can see that people are like, ah.
Yeah. I mean, I try. That was my like me trying to be helpful, like to them, like show them, hey, that's actually really good, sort of thing. Oh man. And like you're still doing commission work for arts. I love your arts. I think you're
Thank
very
you.
talented. I think you have such a vast array of pieces, and you do commissions, so people can reach out to Kitta Walsh on Instagram if they want to get some commission from you.
Yeah, my goal for this year is to actually build a website so that I look like I know what I'm doing. But that seems like I have to know what I'm doing before I get that off the ground. So, but that's a goal.
I
A low
gotta
goal, but it's my
so
goal.
I gotta tell you that. So I'm actually working with the job, the real job I have. I work in TV, and I made a show called The Art Exchange, and it's two artists, two the host and another artist like painting the same subject matter, and then the subject
Ooh.
matter is revealed at the end of the episode. And usually the pieces are two different. And I gotta say, it's been one some of the most rewarding stuff I've done, but also, holy fuck, artists are insane sometimes too. It's such a weird fucking fun thing.
That's been kind of one of the things that I've had to explain, notably to my partner. So since the pandemic, we went from, I think, getting along swimmingly because we did not spend very much time together, to getting along mostly swimmingly because all we do is see each other. but like one of the things that I guess he hadn't fully registered is like if I'm painting or creating something, like it's apparently it's like a pretty common thing for like neurodivergent people, but like I have something playing on the laptop on Netflix, and then I have something on my iPad that's making noise, and then I have my phone playing music, and I have all of these things going while I'm wearing headphones because I have an MP3 player on the go. And he's come in and he's like, why? And I'm like, I don't know. Some of us just need a wall of noise. Which, you know what? I always thought was normal, but have learned pretty quickly it's not entirely.
Yeah, but like, listen, and anything I've learned through these conversations, through podcasts and through comedians and wrestlers, who the fuck wants to be normal? It's
Right?
so lame.
Yeah, like I mean at this point, like I think I kind of like that at the end of the pandemic, I am confident that all of us, like everybody's out of fucks to give, which I like. So I mean like I kind of like that a lot of people did take this time to figure out a little bit more about themselves, and we're all just gonna come out of it like proper like fuck you levels of I do not care. This is me. So like I mean, you know, it's like when Mr. Burns comes out of his weird hospital thing and he's got the curly fingernails and the shoebox is on his feet and the
I
beard.
bring
You know,
you
that's gonna be
love.
all of us. I know none here bring you love, but you know, like where he just looks like somebody that's been very much quarantined for a long time. And I every time I've seen that since, I'm like, well, this is where we're headed. And I'm okay with that. Like I feel like it's just kind of one of those things where everybody's just like, no, I'm not normal, but that's okay. Because normal is a concept.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that now we're living in a world where like the weirdos are kind of seem to be taking over.
I'm not against this. This is actually pretty happy.
No, I mean like Elon Musk can be my king for all I care. He's
Ugh.
the king of the weirdos. I know
I'll
he's.
just tell them to take the other wealthy people to Mars, and when they run out of food, they'll eat each other.
Oh, did you watch that Don't Look Up movie?
Not yet. That's actually on my game plan for today.
That so I don't know what it was. I think I might had too much of an edible, but I think
Oh,
that movie gave me a fucking panic attack. because it was so it was so based on reality and like scary, and the fact like, oh, this is the road that we're actually going down. It was frightening to me.
Well, I mean, I felt the same way about Midsommar, but that's also probably because I too had too much of a
Midsommar is an actual horror, though.
I think it's one of those, I don't know, I feel like there's like a type of movie that you shouldn't watch on like a first date, and like me and my partner have often been like, okay, I'm glad that we watched this 10 years in instead of opening night, but cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's, well, there's a whole date strategy. I mean, if you're going to go on a first date, go watch a movie that you can talk about afterwards. Don't go see someone that's, you know, generic. This is my cat.
I mean, generic might, it depends, for the simple sake that, I mean, I feel like, you know what? I can't get into it without offering spoilers. I would just like to live in a world where if I dated somebody, I didn't immediately go into like a weird panic about a movie, because like I get hyper-focused on something where I'm like, did anybody else just do that boom mic?
Yeah.
And then I'm insufferable for the rest of the movie. So,
oh man, we could talk forever. I miss hanging out with you and Nicolette. I really do. Like you're one of my paisanos for sure. Sarah Walsh at Kidda Walsh on Instagram. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate you being on.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Sarah. I do miss Newfoundland, and her and the comedians and the wrestlers there are part of that reason, because it's a good crew there in the entertainment sector of St. John's there in Newfoundland. If you want to learn more about Sarah, you can catch her on Instagram at Kidda Walsh, KiddaWalsh, Kidda Walsh on Instagram. That's her only Instagram. She was smart. She got rid of Twitter. So until next week, I hope you guys enjoyed today's conversation, and we'll have another great guest for you guys next week. Cheers.